tell me about the Blue Band, man. Just tell me in your words about the Blue Band.
Oh my. Well, that kind of grows out of the Little Red Rooster Band. The Roosters really went for it. We thought we were going to be national megastars, and we signed, essentially towards the end of that group, we signed a personal services contract with a fellow who, let's just say he was unstable, a genius songwriter named Jimmy Holiday, by the way. Jimmy co-wrote Put a Little Love in Your Heart with Jackie DeShannon, and wrote a number of songs that had big hits. And he was originally from Waterloo, and he came back to Waterloo right about the time that the Little Red Rooster Band was peaking. And we signed essentially a 7-year personal services contract with Jimmy, thinking that he was going to be our road to the big time, because he was connected with all of these big timers and publishing companies, which, you know, is what it really takes. He became really, really unstable to the point where he had possible violent tendencies. And we were essentially hired to be his backup band. He was a singer and songwriter. And it got so much out of hand that we all decided we can't go along with this any longer. And the only way to get out of that 7-year personal services contract was just to dissolve the Little Red Rooster Band. There wasn't any more. And that was about the only way you could get out of that really classically bad music business contract. And I had 3 outstanding shows that I had signed for, contracted with the people who hired our band. And when I went to call them and say, you know, there is no Little Red Rooster Band anymore and I can't make the date, every single one of them just said, well, I got a signed contract with you. We love you guys. I trust you enough. So show up with a band and play the gig. me and a couple of other people who were in the Roosters just put up signs in bars that we had played in, just trying to cover these 3 gigs. And people came out. We put together a nice worth of material for these 3 shows, and I'll be damned if those 3 shows were just about more successful than at any time that the Little Red Rooster Band had going on. So we just kept it going, and it wound up living for 36 and a half years, and we traveled anywhere from Sun Valley, Idaho. We played a show at B.B. King's there on Beale Street and the Black Diamond and everywhere else in between. We traveled all over the place. It slowly became apparent that traveling around with a 6-to-8-piece band and your own production and all of that was just not fiscally responsible. And slowly just decided, hey, what we need to do is stop thinking we're going to be big stars and start to make a living at this thing. And about that time, I called the radio station back after I had left to play in the Roosters based in Minneapolis to see if I couldn't get a job. And they offered me a half-time job, a part-time job. Came back to Cedar Falls and decided to actually try to make a living out of playing music. So there we were in the middle of Minneapolis on the north, Kansas City on the south, Chicago on the east, and Omaha Lincoln on the west. And so that became our touring radius, essentially 250 miles from home.
Right.
That made it a lot easier to go out and play 2 or 3 nights a week, come back, take care of my radio responsibilities for 2.5 days a week, and then start all over again. And it really, the combination of playing in a band, being a part-time radio announcer, running my own record company. I took a quick look at this. I think over that period of time, I had a hand in releasing about 100 records,
wow,
CDs, all of that stuff, either as a performer and producer of those records or a record company having some money backing or any of that. So about 100 records in that period of time. You know, the routine in order to make a living playing in a band, even if you're a real big band, merchandise is all about it. So records, T-shirts, koozies, whatever it took to make a living out of that. And so I kind of look at it as a combination of all of these kind of part-time jobs adding up to making a living every week. As long as you kept on doing it, you had that money incoming. And so actually bringing the focus down to a much smaller radius of touring and less ambitious mindset really allowed me to make a living at it. I don't have children, and I didn't have a wife at that time, and so it made it a lot easier to spend all my time doing all of that stuff. I got lucky.
You've worked with so many people, man. So you've played with so many people, but there's one name I see over and over and over when I look inside your history, and that is the name Jeff Peterson.
He and I now have played together music for a living almost 42 years.
Tell me what I need to know about Jeff Peterson.
Jeff Peterson is the greatest unassuming, no-attitude guitar player I have ever met. And I've met a lot of really, really great guitar players. But this guy is humble beyond belief. He is the greatest band member you could ever want. Jeff, could you set up the electricity? He looks around. He is a great band member. He is an unbelievable guitar player that is committed to his art. I can't really say any. I can't think of any negatives to be associated with Jeff Peterson.
Well, I wasn't asking for those. I knew they'd be positive. But how many years you guys played the Iowa State Fair?
I think this year is going to be 37 or 38 of the last 40.
So, March 2018 was a big, big time in your life, brother. You were honored in the Iowa legislature by both the Iowa House and Senate when they passed a resolution praising you as an Iowa icon. That's incredible, man.
And I would like to point out that that was a bipartisan thing. I got a standing O in both chambers of the Iowa legislature over that commendation. What an exhilarating and fantastic experience that was. I actually went there in the morning, dressed up, wore a tie. Oh, man, it was the big time for me.
That is awesome, man. So, you know, right now, as far as right now with your, because I can't keep track of everything with your situation changing all the time. I know you're not retired. That we got that straight. You haven't retired. What are you doing right now? And this is, today is the 22nd of March, 2023. What is Bob Doerr doing today?
Well, let me see. I'm getting ready to do. I do a weekly blues jam every Thursday in Waterloo. Jeff Peterson and I, and what we call the bass player of the week. We run a blues jam, and we're adamant about the variations of the 1-4-5. Sunday, he and I will do our duo at the Botanical Gardens in Des Moines. Unbelievable gig. They run a three-month thing on Sundays where Iowa blues players come in and play in essentially a controlled 80-degree environment with all kinds of really cool stuff. I'm trying to find work for the rest of the season. After turning 70 a year ago, my gift to myself was that I don't really do what I call the hustle anymore. And it's the hustle whether you're on my low level or your bigger level or the mega level. No matter what, it's all about the hustle. And most of the work that I do now comes to me rather than me searching out work and, you know, the routine, man. If you're trying to find work, you essentially call up somebody in a club or has a convention or something like that, and you beg them to hire you for less money than you know you're worth. And sometimes you get the gig and sometimes you don't. And that is what I call the hustle. And that is just, I mean, that is probably the most important part of success in any form of music business. But it is just really, really difficult for me to do that. Taking care of TCB is tough for me anymore.
What about in the broadcasting side of your career?
I gave up my rock and roll history show, again, after almost 37 years. I did a three-hour researched rock and roll history show called Backtracks, and I gave that up because it was simply, I had 10 to 12 hours a week invested in making those three-hour shows, and after 37 years, you know, you wind up doing everything you can with a program like that two or three times. But I still maintain my blues show on Sundays. It really is an opportunity for me to keep aware of the current national and regional and local blues scene. So I still have that opportunity. I have a little radio production studio in my garage, so I don't need to go into the radio station at any time. I can make those shows and deliver them on a little 8-gig thumb drive every week. So I still have a hand in that, and IPR, Iowa Public Radio, has been just so supportive of maintaining that partnership. So, again, you know, I've just been surrounded by really, really good people and been lucky.
You know, you have done so much for Iowa artists, musicians, bands, and I'm going to take the liberty of speaking for all of them to thank you for having done that. You know, this interview is going to be in my book, Opening the Closed Door. And I would like to know from you, if you had to give advice to a young person who's just starting out in this thing, in the music side of what you do as a harmonica player, band leader, drummer, what advice would you give them?
Oh, my. Well, I have a couple, three things, because you warned me that this might be a question. And I asked all of the great blues players that I had an opportunity to interview, Muddy Waters, B.B. King, Willie Dixon, Coco Taylor, Albert Collins, all of these people, I would ask a very similar question, that if you were to give some advice to beginning blues players, what would it be? And every single one of them, right down to the bottom, said, do it your way. Don't try to be, if you're a harmonica player, don't try to be Little Walter. B.B. King, perfect example. Don't try to be B.B. King. I'm already B.B. King. And that's the thing. Isn't that a great thing? I'm already B.B. King. And every single one of them, maybe you don't play the changes correct. Maybe you don't play the note. Maybe the four, you're not playing the four correct. But if you do it all the time, it becomes your signature style. And when people hear that, they go, oh, that's Bronson. Or, oh, that's Bob Dylan. Or, you know, some of the harmonica players out there, they're not the greatest technical harmonica players, but when you hear them, you know it's them. So first of all, establish your own style in the only way that signature way that people can identify you. So that would be one thing. I think that the, and here's another cliche for you, but there's a reason it becomes cliche. It's true, is really the greatest ability is availability. Anytime somebody calls and opens the door for you, put your foot in there and go do it. And be available. The radio station, when I started out as a kid, I didn't know the deep roots of folk music, but they had a two-hour folk show, and they needed somebody to be the host, so there I was. Sure, I can get up and be there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And, oh, by the way, you're going to do another folk show that is a little bit more twangy at 6 o'clock at night? Yeah, I can do that. Oh, and then you're going to do a rock and roll radio show at 9 o'clock at night? Sure, I can do all three of them all the time if you want me to. Or somebody calls and says, be in Cedar Rapids on Tuesday and play 2 hours for, you know, next to nothing. Still, go and do the thing. If you're available, you'll get more work, no matter what. And then the hardest thing for me is just persistence. It's the getting up in the morning and figuring out what can I do to advance what I'm doing today. Persistence is, I'm convinced that persistence is the hardest part in any small business. So be yourself, be available as much as you can. The availability thing is just puts you in a position where you can be lucky. If I can find the greatest common denominator of all of the successes that I've had, I've just been in the right place at the right time. And I've culled down my expectations from being a nationally or internationally recognized artist to just trying to make a living. And if you put yourself out there, sooner or later you're going to run into more people that will help you. And that's really what it's all about. What I've found out, I tried to do everything myself. Be a record producer, I was all about doing it. But I was also being a music player. I was being on the radio, doing all of it. And putting yourself in a position where other people can help you. Because you can't do it all yourself. You can't be a record producer, make the records, distribute the records, do the promotion. You can't do everything all by yourself. And that's the thing that I didn't learn early enough in my career to be beneficial. I realize it now that you can't do it all yourself, and you're probably better off to find a booking agent and go ahead and spend the 15% or whatever it takes than having to do it all yourself and all the other stuff that it takes. So you're a very similar kind of situation, Bronson. From my vantage point, you've taken care of a lot of different aspects of the music business yourself. It's not easy to cover all the bases yourself, and especially if it's like you, where you have a family and you have kids and you have other responsibilities. I never had that, so I had an advantage over people who actually had to take care of other people at the same time. But I do wish that I would have brought other people in to help me be successful. I'm famous in Iowa, but there's 49 other states, you know? And I'm never going to get to number two, so I guess those are the things that I would advise people from my vantage point now at age 71.
Awesome. That's some awesome advice, man. I learned some things in that advice, and I appreciate that.
You know, and it's funny, Bob, all these years I've known of you for so many years. And like I say, I was seeing you play up in with the Little River Band up in Minneapolis, what, 50 years ago? I mean, almost, something like that. And yeah. We've never made music together. We have to make music together, man. It's on my bucket list.
Well, I'm intimidated by your talent.
Oh, hush.
So, you should give yourself more credit. You are just an incredible player. And
well,
not
I appreciate
just
that.
A harmonica player, but all the other instruments that you are playing and supporting other people's music. You, when I think, let's see, should I be even on stage with Bronson Herman playing harmonica?
No,
not really. That,
no,
that's
gotta,
just superfluous.
We
so,
got to make some music together, man. It doesn't matter if you're
that
on the drums or harmonica. Well, it'd be fun. We're going to do it. I mean, it's on my bucket list. 2024 is going to see me in Iowa a whole lot more. I'm hoping some folks up there get tired of seeing me. That's how much I plan on being up there playing music. And I'm going to be head your way. It's going to be one of my plans to come up there and make some music. Y'all have so much fun. I don't get into it. And I want to meet Jeff and pick with Jeff and the rest of your friends. So thank you for doing this,
Bob.
I really appreciate it. I hope you feel better. And, thanks so much for taking the time. I just so appreciate it. Thank you.
And thanks very much for the opportunity.